start, I would like to say to you, I've said this to John and to Shay several times, I feel it an honor and I'm very humbled to speak before you every time. I don't have the adequate words to tell each of you how much I admire and respect each one of you. And so thank you for allowing me this opportunity. Let's pray. Okay, Dad, it's now time. You gave me the words. I put them on the page. Help me stay out of it, and you just do it. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking about what would Jesus do. I've been thinking a lot about what Jesus would do. You know, Jesus told some really cool stories. They called them parables. But not once did any of the disciples ever come up to him and say, "Hey, teach us how to tell those cool stories." Or he took a little kid's happy meal of 2 fish and 5 loaves and fed thousands. Not one disciple walked up to Jesus and said, "Hey, teach me how to do that." He healed sicknesses, made blind men see, brought people back from the dead, and not one disciple said, "You know, I'd kind of like to know how to do that." Oh, I got one. He changed water into wine. Not one of them said, "That's a cool trick. Show me how to do that." There is only one thing that's recorded in Scripture. Out of all the amazing things that Jesus did, the disciples asked him to teach them how to do. And that was to pray. That's the only thing the disciples ever asked. Teach us to pray. So Jesus taught them the model prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, of which we recite to close every Saturday night here at Serenity Church. And because we learn this prayer at a very early age and we learn to recite it, we need to make sure that that prayer does not become, and if I may steal Lori's words, invisible, you know, just words that we say without thinking about them. That's why we're here at this church on Sunday mornings. We are going through this Lord's Prayer and reminding ourselves what this prayer talks about. Now, if I truly, you know my background with kids, you know that when I want the real truth of a matter, I find that kids pretty well speak the truth, straightforward. So looking at this prayer that we recite every week through the eyes of a child goes something like this. Our Creator of the universe, you are awesome. Show us who you are and how you want us to be. Make earth more like heaven. Please give us what we need to keep going each day. Help us when we are wrong and clean us up on the inside. Help us to let go of how other people offend us and just move on. Keep us from bad stuff. Remind us you're in charge. You're strong and powerful and gentle. You're always there for us and with us forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Through the eyes of a child. Just make it simple. Tonight I'd like to talk to you about the tough line that's in this prayer. The model prayer starts out fairly easy. You see, anyone can pray, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy." That's pretty easy. "Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done as it is in heaven, so be it on earth. Give us today our daily bread." But now the Lord's Prayer turns to meddling. As we often say of sermons that convict us, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us." Two little brothers, Harry and James, had finished supper and were playing until bedtime. Somehow, Harry hit James with a stick, and tears and words flowed. Charges and accusations were still being exchanged as her mother prepared them for bed. She said, "Now, boys, what would happen if either of you died tonight and you never had the opportunity again to forgive one another?" So James spoke up and he said, "Well, okay, I'll forgive him tonight. But if we're both alive in the morning, you better look out." In some ways, this might be our favorite part of the Lord's Prayer. We really like the part, "forgive us" part. But as for the rest of it, maybe not so much. We don't like admitting our trespasses, at least not when we have to get specific about them, and when we really struggle with the "as we forgive those who trespass against us." But this is a prayer that our Lord Jesus would have us to pray. All of it. So I think we should give this whole petition our attention tonight and not just breeze over the hard parts. "And forgive us." That's how the petition starts. And we really like that part, and rightly so. We rejoice that God is inviting us here to receive His forgiveness. Jesus has us pray this prayer because there is forgiveness to be had from our gracious God. This is great news. Our Heavenly Father will hear our prayers for forgiveness. What is forgiveness like? How does the Bible describe it? Well, in the Lord's Prayer itself and in Jesus' teachings, He described it as the canceling of a debt. "Forgive us our debts," it says in some translations. And in one of His parables, Jesus compares it to a master simply forgiving the huge debt of a servant that owed him a lot of money. That's like it is with us and God. Every sin we commit in thought, word, and deed, in what we do wrong, and in what we don't do right, that's a red ink mark going in our ledger book on the debt side of the balance sheet. It starts to add up. And there's no way we could ever pay it off. All of our striving, all of our struggling to straighten up and fly right, which usually doesn't last too long anyway, all the good we think we can achieve that will never get us out of the debt column. Maybe you've had times in your life when you let your credit card debt pile up. 3 figures. 4 figures. 5 figures. And it can add up quickly. I know. Been there. And the interest on the credit card debt only compounds the problem. It's an awful feeling. It's like a black cloud hanging over your head. Now multiply that a few million times, and that's the debt before God. So what does God do? He simply cancels the debt. He forgives it. But not by pretending it wasn't there. No, the heavenly ledger books must be balanced. The debt must be paid, every single bit of it. And so what God has done is send his son to pay the debt for us. This was a costly payoff, very dear indeed. God's own son, our sinless Savior, Jesus Christ, took all of that accumulated debt, the sins of all the people who have ever lived, a mountain of debt that reached up to the heavens, and Jesus paid the full price for all humanity. His holy, precious blood of indescribable value, of infinite worth, Jesus shed for all of us on the cross of Calvary. And he cried out, "It is finished." In Greek, that is an accounting term, which literally means paid in full. That's what forgiveness is like. It's the canceling of a debt, not holding on to someone's sins against them. That's what God does for us. And here in this petition, Jesus would have us pray to the Father for that forgiveness whenever we're aware of our sins. Sins, debts, trespasses. The Bible uses different terms to describe our disobedience, each having a nuance of its own meaning. Trespasses, for instance, brings out that when we sin, we are stepping outside the bounds of God's commands. But whether we call them sins or debts or trespasses, the key point is that we need forgiveness for them. And that God freely gives us for the sake of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the part we like, the fact that God forgives us. Now we come to the hard parts. First of all, that is what we actually have to admit and confess our trespasses. We don't like to admit that, at least not in the specific. Oh, we may confess generally that we are poor, miserable sinners, as long as we move quickly past that and don't stop and think about how we have sinned. But the truth is, you write this down. This is very simple. Poor, miserable sinners do miserable sins. See, it's not complicated. Do these words sound familiar? We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. We admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Oh, ouch. The thing to do with these sins is not to gloss over them or rationalize them or excuse them. No, the thing to do is to recognize our sins, name them, and call them for what they are. Agree with God on what he says about sin and that they are punishable offenses deserving temporal and eternal punishment. Repent of those sins, confess them, ask God's forgiveness, and ask for his help to do better. That is all packed into these three, four words. Forgive us our trespasses. By the way, did you notice the first word in this petition is and? And forgive us our trespasses. This means that this petition is connected to the one right before it. Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, as often as we pray, give us this day our daily bread, which, if you haven't figured it out yet, it's daily. That's how often we should pray, and forgive us our trespasses. In other words, every day. We continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Jesus here is teaching us to pray for forgiveness every day, which means that we need God's forgiveness every day, which means that we sin against God and our neighbor every day. We stand in constant need of God's forgiveness, and God will provide it every day. This is his promise to you today. Whenever you feel your need and you sense your sins and you turn to God in faith and prayer and seek the forgiveness, he surely gives it. But wait, there's more. Now we come to what can be the really hard part for us, which is our forgiving of others. Jesus built this right into the Lord's Prayer when he adds, as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's possible that you are carrying some deep wounds that you've carried for months, maybe even years. And when you think about the person who hurt you, it's still as fresh as if it happened today. The pain is still there, and you're still filled with resentment. You say, why in the world should I forgive that person who hurt me so much? You have no idea how much they hurt me. Why should I offer grace to that person? Now, I'm going to give you three reasons to make that choice. Number one, because God has been gracious to you. Write this down. You will never have to forgive anyone more than Jesus has already forgiven you. You will never have to forgive anyone more than Jesus has already forgiven you. Remember that you haven't always gotten what you deserved either. And that's called mercy. God has been gracious with you. Now choose to be gracious with others. Number two, because the alternative is bitterness. Scientists tell us that resentment is the unhealthiest emotion there is. It always hurts you more than anyone else. Resentment will not change the past, and it won't solve the problem. It doesn't even make you feel better. In fact, it probably makes you feel worse. And number three, because God wants you to. Remember step nine about making amends? If you're standing before the altar and suddenly remember that a friend has something against you, leave your sacrifice and go and be reconciled. Then come offer your sacrifice to God. Now some real meat on the bone words from Jesus. Right after the Lord's Prayer. Put up that slide. This is what follows right after the Lord's Prayer. I want you to notice those letters are red, which means Jesus said this. Don't shoot the messenger, I'm just reading them. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I didn't write that. Straight word from word out of the Bible. Jesus said it. Jesus says we cannot receive what we are unwilling to give. If you say, I could never forgive that person, all I can say to you is I hope that you never sin. If you just don't feel like it, do it anyway. Because it's the right thing to do. Why? Because as Christians, freely forgiven by God, we live, we have our very life by virtue of forgiveness. How then can we deny forgiveness to others? That would be an utter betrayal of the way God operates. Christ died for those sinners too. Shall we not forget those whom God has forgiven? We are children of our Heavenly Father. We share in His character, which is one of grace and forgiveness and mercy. To not forgive those who trespass against us would to go against God. It would be to actually place ourselves over God. So Jesus emphasizes the importance of forgiving others by building this right into the Lord's Prayer itself. It's a daily reminder of our need to do this, and thereby we call to mind anyone who might need to forgive at any given time. And it's also a prayer for help. We're asking God for His help in order to forgive those who have sinned against us. You need that help? I know I do. I feel it when people I know have hurt me, done me wrong, perhaps criticized me, fairly or unfairly. I need to own that and to receive that humbly and ask for God's forgiveness and help me to forgive others. My whole life, your whole life, operates in the realm of forgiveness. You and I sin and we need God's forgiveness. Others sin against us and we need to forgive them. If we forget about forgiveness, this whole thing goes to pot. Any marriage, any family, any congregation cannot live in peace without the constant giving and receiving of forgiveness. It's so basic to everything that is good and right and true in God's kingdom. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Friends, this is why Jesus came, to win that forgiveness for us by His death on the cross and to teach us the importance of forgiveness in our daily walk as His disciples, that is in humble repentance before God and in the practice of forgiveness amongst ourselves. All of this is included in this wonderful petition in the Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, I need to end on these two points. I've been asked many times, well, David, what about forgiving yourself? Let me ask you, do you believe 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from most of our unrighteousness? What? All? It's all gone? Okay, if you believe that, when you confess your sin, God wipes your slate clean. There's no dust or anything left in the corners and the edge. It's all gone, right? You said that. You believe that. Okay? Do you believe that when you pray to forgive your sins, God casts them into the sea and remembers them no more? Why? Because God's got a bad memory? He chooses to do that. Scripture tells us he takes them and he throws them as far as the east is from the west. Do you believe all of that? Say amen. Amen. Okay, now, you said that. So whatever you have done that is so horrible that only you can forgive it, here goes again. Where does that put you? Above God. If you believe God forgives you and casts all your sins away, that means they're all gone. That includes you. It's not about forgiving yourself. It's about trusting God will do what he says. And since I don't know if I'm going to get this opportunity again, I'm going to throw this one in. Another question I get constantly is, David, are we in the last days? Well, the answer to that is very simple. Yes, we're in the last days, okay? That started about 2,000 years ago at the birth of the church, okay? But David, I don't know when Jesus is coming back and I'm scared. Well, you're in good company because the Bible says no man knows. Okay, you're in good company, all right? No man knows. So, let me give you an example. And my daughter's a teacher, so I even called her out in the service for this. Okay, first day of school, and your teacher tells you're going to have a pop test. Okay? Your question that's running in your mind is, when? At any time. So always be prepared. So I tell everybody that asks me the question, are we in the last days, and I don't know when it's going to happen, and I'm scared. Let me tell you very simply, I've been telling young people this for years and years and years and years. Don't be scared. Be ready. You say, well, David, how do I get ready? Well, let me make it very simple. Spend time in the Bible. Read the Word, okay? So, David, it's just a book of do's and don'ts. Well, let me help you out there. Very simple. If you spend your time doing the do's, you won't have time to do the don'ts. Okay? Is that simple enough? Is that simple enough? If you spend your time doing the do's, and you won't have time to do the don'ts, talk to God. Pray. You can't have a relationship with someone you won't talk to. Okay? So you've talked to God and you've read his word, and now we're going to obey the word. Do what it says. I have an idea. Let's start obeying by forgiving others. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.